For me, the 7th and 8th chapters of the book of Romans are some of the most meaningful and significant passages in Scripture. They speak to my life and the struggle to live the Christian life. And it's just very clear to me. Have you ever heard the expression when, you know, maybe you're trying to control somebody else, or maybe you're not taking care of yourself properly, or things like this, and somebody says, "Get a life." Have you ever heard that expression? Well, that's really what God is trying to tell us. Get a life. There's a difference between being alive and having a life. Sadly, I think the church is full of people who are alive, but I'm not sure how many people really have a life. And this passage that we heard this morning is about this, because it tells us how we get a life. Paul speaks to us clearly. To set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the worldly is death. To set the mind on just the things of this world is only going to end in death. Jesus raised three people from the dead: a little girl, a widow woman's son, the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. But guess what? They all died again. If you live in the here and now, if you live in the flesh, if you just live in this world, only thing you've got to look forward to is death. That's it. You may be living, but you don't have a life. Because, you see, God called you forth before the foundation of the world to be something special. You came into this world with the most wonderful potential to truly have a life. And yet, so many people don't have much of a life. They're just alive. And this raises all kinds of questions. But Paul is telling the people he's writing to in Rome, for fear that he'll never get to be there and tell them in person, where you set your mind makes the difference. We were having an interesting discussion in my covenant group with minister friends this last Tuesday. And I shared that, you know, the Greeks really kind of messed us up and caused us not to get the message and put us in the part of the predicament we're in the world today, in our scientific world. You know, for the Hebrews, you were either flesh or spirit. From a biblical point of view, there are two options. You're either of this world or you're of the kingdom of God. You're either flesh or spirit. Now, we know we're both, but those are the two parts of who we are. Well, the Greeks came along, it's just like the word love. You know, they've got umpteen definitions of the word love. They were philosophers. They just loved thinking about stuff. They just loved thinking up stuff. They really didn't care a lot of times what it meant. The important thing was just to think it and to talk about it and discuss it. Sounds a little bit like modern times, doesn't it? And so they'd get real nitpicky about words and thoughts. And we bought into a scientific age that's into just words and thoughts and ideas without talking about meaning. Meaning. Purpose. We have a mind, yes. But the function of the mind is a sort of a control mechanism. It's where I set my mind that's important. I'm not a three-part person, you know, physical, worldly, spiritual, and mental. I'm unique of all of God's creation, of all living creatures, in that my mind offers me the capacity to know about myself. We were talking about this morning in our confirmation class. You know, the animals have spirits. God breathed the spirit into the animals just like he did you and me. That's not what makes us in the image of God. We are able to know things that animals don't know. Now, animals know stuff. They learn stuff. But we're able to reflect on even ourselves And that's what Paul is challenging us to do. Make the decision to set the mind even on, either on fleshly, worldly things. And if you do that, you're going to end up just dying. That's going to be it. That's all you got to look forward to. Or set your mind on spiritual things, because that's another way of saying, see, you're really a spiritual being in a human body, not a human being who happens to have a spirit. Set your mind on the things of the spirit, and then you can have a life. And then he throws in another little kicker. You not only have life, but you have peace. Life and peace. Life and fulfillment. Life and the best of everything. If you choose to set your mind on the things of the spirit, you have a life. You're not just an organism that happens to be alive. Universal Studios has some great commercials out right now. I hope you've seen them. But, you know, I'm an image person. I go to the movies and I notice images on TV, and I've talked about commercials before. But I love these new commercials. I never got a whole lot out about that little dancing guy with the big glasses. But these commercials are great. I hope you've seen them. Because they start out having no idea it has anything to do with Universal Studio. One of the commercials is a pharmaceutical executive sitting in a boardroom, and there's a chalkboard behind him, and he's sitting there talking to you about the pharmaceutical industry, and we want to thank you for working as much as you do. Americans work more hours per week than any people in the world, and we want to thank you for that. You know, you don't take time off, you don't take vacations, and we've got an answer for you. We've got pills. You know, if you're depressed, we've got a pill. If you're uncomfortable, we got a pill. If you can't sleep, we got a pill. And I want you to know we're there for you, and we'll have a pill for you. And then that scene closes, and then it says, have a life. Take a vacation, Universal Studios. The newest one I've seen is even better. Because first, you zero in on a funeral director. And there's this, you know, the kind of music you often hear at a funeral home, playing in the background, and somebody dressed in a black suit, and say, we know you work too many hours and everything, but we're here for you and your family. They ought to say, of course, you won't be here. But we're going to take care of you. And then it switches to another guy who's, you know, just as dignified, standing at the graveside. We want you to know we're always here for you. So if you overwork and you don't stay in the world long, we're here for you. And then the scene closes and it says, have a life. Take a vacation. Universal Studios. Well, see, God's got a message for us this morning. God wants us to have a life, not just be people who are living organisms. You get confused because you think you really have a life because you work so hard to have things. You work so hard to possess cars and houses and a degree and prestige and respect, and you serve on this and you serve on that, and the community thinks this or that. But you know, you can have all of that and not have a life. Because a lot of that can be a real illusion to keep us just worldly oriented, and it ends in death. And yet we can have people who in terms of this world have almost nothing, and they're so fully alive. They enjoy this world even though we can't see how in the world they do. Poverty-ridden nations where people have a life because they believe in something higher and bigger than themselves. And if they're Christians, they're celebrating that life even in the midst of their suffering and their tragedy. They have a life and they will have peace. The question for us this morning is, do you have a life or are you just living? And you know, the biggest struggle in my life right now, I've noticed, particularly in the last month, this has been my issue. Do I have a life? Or am I just living? Do I have a real life in Christ, or am I just going through a bunch of religious routines? Am I really serving my Lord and my God, doing what I'm doing here? Or am I just living a religious life? Ultimately, it's related to a quality of life issue. You see, there are people who have gone through one treatment after another for cancer, this and that. They've gone through pain and agony. I was just talking to my mother on the phone the other day about a friend that she keeps me posted on who's going through yet another kind of therapy for cancer. This woman has lived the last 4 years in absolute misery and pain for treatments that just keep her alive, and I wonder if she even has a life. And then there are some people that say, I've been down that road. I've done that. God's blessed me. I have a good family. I have children. I have grandchildren. Basically, I've had a pretty good life, and I'm faced with that decision again, and I'm going to say no, because quality of life is more important to me than just being alive. You see, science, technology, medicine can keep you living, but it can't give you a life. And the real question is just because you're living mean you're going to have a life? Or can you choose to say, I know this disease, this cancer, this problem may lead to my death, but I think I can enjoy the quality of my life by saying no to treatment and be living a shorter life, but having a quality life in Christ Jesus. One of the films I reviewed, which you're not going to see, it's a little strange, but it impressed me before the film ever started, a quote from the author, Nikos Kazantzakis, The Last Temptation of Christ. And he says this, "The dual substance of Christ, the yearning so human, so superhuman of man to attain God, has always had a deep, inscrutable mystery to me. My principal anguish and source of all of my joys and sorrows from my youth onward has been the incessant, merciless battle between the spirit and the flesh. And my soul has been the arena where these two armies have clashed and met." That's exactly what St. Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, I can will what is right, but I can't do it. I can know what is good. I can choose what is good. But when I try to do good for any length of time, I end up doing the very thing I hate, something that's bad. And in desperation, he finally cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he says, "Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus." And then a few verses later, he tells us to set the mind on the things of the flesh and the world to give you a life is only going to give you death. But to set your mind on the Spirit is not only life and having a life, it's peace. It's joy. It's fulfillment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've wondered about my own life, my own ministry, if it's not way too worldly oriented. I agonized over this in my personal life Friday, and Jane and I had a rather heated discussion. Some people would call that an argument. Jane would call it an argument. Wasn't a pretty thing, but it was part of this struggle, this very struggle. And the next morning, as I was reading in my breviary, my normal devotionals in addition to the book we've been reading, I found these words. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This is Jesus speaking in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And then Francois de Salignac Fenelon, who lived between 1651 and 1715, wrote this for Mike Hale. It was almost as if hundreds of years ago he knew me. He knew where I was going to be Saturday morning. And he wrote, "When we notice in ourselves eager desires for something in the future, when we see that our temperament carries us too intensely to all that must be done, let us try to restrain ourselves from hurry and ask our Lord to stop the haste in our hearts and the agitation in our behavior. Since God has said himself that his Spirit does not dwell in confusion, let us take care not to participate in too much in all that is said and done, and not to absorb too much of it, because this is a great source of distraction. When we have seen what God asks of us in each task that presents itself, let us keep to that and separate from all of the rest. Thus, we shall always keep the depths of our souls free and balanced. And we shall cut off entirely the host of unnecessary things which burden our hearts and which prevent them from turning easily towards God. I'm so thankful God speaks to us through his word, through the words of others who have struggled with where to set the mind, who have struggled with the issue, do I have a life or am I just living? Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, give us a life in Christ Jesus, that we might truly be alive. And being truly alive, we'll see the things in life that are really important. And we'll be able to let go of the things that are not and be the people you've called us to be before the foundations of the world, that your purpose might be fulfilled in us and through us. For we ask this desperately. In the name of your Holy Spirit, amen.